was smarter. And one day said Kemosabe, well, kiss my ass, I bought a boat, I'm going out to sea. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean.
All right, back. So, let me ask. Oh, my God. I mean, do you guys have any figure in mind? I have a figure that's crossed my desk. Do you have any figure in mind of how many people actually lost their lives over this?
Million.
Up to a million at this point. They continue to die since 2011 up to today.
Oh, my God.
Out of 6.5 million Libyans.
All right. So you were now at the point where the bombing started. Where were you guys specifically?
Well, I had come back the February 8th. I had signed my joint venture agreements, and I ordered all the materials and everything to be shipped into Libya to build a large-scale enzyme production plant and to bring in the feedstock and everything. And I left there February 8th.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when the bombing and everything started just a few weeks later, we were constantly on the horn with the Libyans trying to find out, you know, what is going on? Why haven't you got this revolution going? And then we were asked to go in there and head an NGO fact-finding commission by a group that we didn't know. They were the Youth for Peace worldwide. They had 2 billion members. And, of course, we were ready to go because we wanted to help Libya settle their problems if we could so we could exploit the business that we had set up.
Now, understand, the UN is required to send a fact-finding commission to any country they take any kind of interference in. And they're required to do it twice. Libya requested 3 times. They were completely ignored by the UN. And that's when Gaddafi spoke and said, and let me tell you, Gaddafi was what they would call a spiritual leader. So he did speak, and the people did want to hear him speak. He said the UN is a completely illegitimate organization. They broke their own statutes. They don't even follow their own rules. So there were private fact-finding commissions.
There were 5 or 10% of Libyans. They were still nutsos, you know, but the rest of the Libyans, they loved their country. They were happy. It was peaceful, you know. The U.S., the CIA, Mossad, and MI6 had to bring in 250,000 mercenaries into Libya to effect this quote-unquote revolution. And Hillary Clinton company promised that they would take over Libya in 2 weeks. And, of course, it didn't happen because they never could generate the popular support because the people didn't want a part of this at all. And so they continued to bring in mercenaries, continued to blow up.
They started committing crimes against humanity that were just horrendous. And they started embargoing Tripoli because Tripoli was a stronghold against this revolution where 2 million people were. And they started embargoing food and medicine and water and fuel. Gasoline.
All civilian cars were gasoline. Military were diesel. So the UN and NATO embargoed gasoline, which affected the people there because Libya is a big footprint country, 7th largest in Africa. And you don't walk any place. It's a drive wherever you go. And so embargoing gasoline was actually – that's a war crime in itself.
These are against the Geneva Convention, all the things they did. And even the Libyan tribes drove in a bus. We knew the guy who's put it together to Algeria and bought a tanker load of gasoline to bring to Tripoli so the people would have fuel. And when it was on the Mediterranean, NATO came in and pirated it with UK troops and took it over to Benghazi and gave it to the rebels. This kind of stuff happened every day while we were there. They were taking children. They were kidnapping children into white slavery and they gone into South Africa. The things you can't believe what they did. You cannot, I mean... For example, one of the things they did, and we interviewed a lot of people. We have them on our own little camera. We interviewed them. Some people left home. When they came back, all their children had been chopped up and put in their refrigerator, and they opened their refrigerator to see their dead children. These kind of horrendous acts happened all the time. And there was a British alternate news reporter there that we knew, and he said, let me tell you something. He said, I was told when I was in Qatar and saw a mock-up of the Green Square where they showed people supporting the rebels, it's all a mock-up. It was a phony, phony thing in Qatar. He said, they told me that the CIA trains people to do these kinds of things because, he said, what it does, it's such a shock to the people, they lose their will to fight.
So in essence, all of the mainstream reports that we were getting about Muammar Gaddafi being this dictator and humanitarian rights, in essence, it was the people that we put in there that were doing this.
Yeah, it was CIA.
And most of them were CIA. The reporters were CIA.
We were in that Rex's Hotel where all the media was many times. They were all CIA. There was only about seven alternate media people there.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll tell you what. We got a caller on the line, folks. Let's take a call. Let's go to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, you're on with myself and Jim and Joanne Moriarty. What have you got?
Well, I mean, with that perspective, I mean, my thing is, seems a little bit ridiculous now, but you've touched on it, but not all of the layers of the onion. You know, where Libya is at in Central Africa, you know, North Central Africa, its influence could spread out quite a bit, you know, across a lot of the desertification of North Africa. There's old maps I've seen that show Finger Lakes where, you know, the Sahara is now. And it only took about 150 years for the goat herders to come in, you know, 1,300 years ago, and destroy the agricultural infrastructure of North Africa. There's been recent scholarship in the last, you know, 15 years or so, and underwater archaeology that's shown the layers of silt where the desert was expanded, and they found, like something out of an Indiana Jones film, they found entire structures buried in the sand because this happened so quickly that the Greco-Roman architecture was just buried in the sand in northern Africa. And so the agricultural program that Gaddafi had in place was a threat to control the Arab world. As Henry Kissinger supposedly said, you know, you want to control a government, control the money supply. If you want to control the people, you control the food. And so America's status as a breadbasket would be in jeopardy twofold. And also in the last, you know, 15 years or so, there's been some very high-resolution detailed satellite imagery that you can find animations of how the dust storms coming off of the Sahara Desert directly affect the number and intensity of hurricanes in the United States. So this would affect our status as with the stability of North American weather. Or, it sounds ridiculous, but I have to wonder if that's not a factor there, because we know our government's involved in weather control projects now. So this is just coming out more and more every day, and their CIA director just last summer tried to sell this idea. So I just wonder, you know, how big was this agricultural effort? I mean, he had
water. Go ahead.
Yeah, water is the key factor, and that's why the Great Man-Made River could become a reality, and it moved along great. Even the factories where they're building these huge concrete ducts were blown up by the U.S., UN, and NATO. You know, but the truth is, with very little water, your agricultural capabilities are limited. And if you look at a map, Houston, Texas, and Tripoli are the same, on the same line. The difference is Houston's got the water below it, and Tripoli's got the water above it. But this great man-made river would have cured those problems. When you start bringing animals in to feed on the crops that have limited amount of water to feed them, then yes, they could destroy it in a short period of time. But they had been increasing the water supply. They had desalination plants that also were blown up by U.S., UN, and NATO. And so they were trying to destroy that agricultural capability in Libya. That was one of the real problems. And the Tuareg people that were the black tribes, their towns and villages, five of them, were razed to the ground. They were trying to eliminate that capability completely. They were mainly agricultural.
Well, you go back 1,300 years ago, and that was the thing that invaded the Byzantine, was these goat herders and the Christians, and the culture was not allowed to stop the goat herders. They were considered a demi or a semi-slave. And so the goat is a major factor in destroying what was left there and causing this desertification over the course of only about 150 years. So I think Gaddafi could have reversed this on a massive scale. It's my understanding there's a huge amount of primary water in the way of aquifers underneath of the Sahara Desert.
The largest in the world. And all that you're saying is true, but see, water is the cure for those problems. And I don't really remember back that far. I started my life at a very young age, but I don't remember 1300, really, to tell you the truth.
Let me stop you. I can let you go, Mike.
Sure.
The phone calls are building up here, but I wanted to ask you, before I take any more calls, Jeff in Georgia, hold on. Ken in Fort Worth, hold on. You said you were captured by Al-Qaeda. In your estimation, Al-Qaeda, is it not our own creation, the CIA creation?
All of them, Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood, Ansar al-Sharia, Libyan Fighting Group.
ISIS, all of them.
All of them.
Same, they're all the same. Yeah, they just use different names to confuse the West.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, with that, let me go back to the phone lines here. Let me pick up Jeff in Georgia. Jeff, you're on with Michael and Jim and Joanne Moriarty. Go ahead. What's your point?
Yes, great show. Libya was the invasion there was a creation of that Jewish neoconservative think tank, you know, Paul Wolfowitz and that group of people. Uh-huh. But I need to ask those guys something, because I was once a Christian Zionist. I'm still Christian, but Christian Zionism, I was misled. And I think the two greatest dangers to world peace are Christian Zionism and the international Jewish banking cartel. I'd like to ask them, which is greater? I mean, I look at the Christian Zionists as being puppets. I look at the Jewish banking cartels being the puppet master that run our foreign policy. Which is the greatest evil?
Okay, well, first of all, let me set something straight. The Zionists are not Jews. They were required to select some religion by one of the czars, you know, I think in 800 years ago. They're
Kazarian.
Not Jews. They act like they're
Kazarian.
Jews.
That's right.
They're
right.
The Kazarians.
Right.
They're the Kenites. And they own all the central banks in the world. There's 85 of these guys that own 70% of everything in the world. They're the real bad guys. They're the Satanists. Below them are the 300 Bilderbergers. And sometimes those people rotate in and out.
And they are not the protected of God.
But they are absolutely not the protected of God.
The
they're not Jews. You have to separate the two. And this garbage where they're trying to sell the Zionists as the favorite of God has absolutely been rewritten by them. You can look up the history of Zionists. They're absolutely devil spawn. They're not Jews. They're bad guys. So the worst,
but
the Zionists are the bad guys. The Zionists.
Which one? The
bankers? Which?
Well, the Zionists are Zionists. And
well,
whether
two.
You're asking, no, you're see, you're saying Christian Zionists? No, if they're a Zionist, they bought into
you know
the
what,
deal.
I know what he's saying. He's saying a lot of Christians protect the Jews or the Zionists because they think they read in the Bible somewhere and they're chosen.
Well, they've been duped.
Yeah.
Right.
Am I still
exactly.
on?
Go ahead.
Yeah, but my question is which is the greater evil to world peace? Because world peace is in doubt because of the Jewish bankers and the Christian Zionists. And I want to know which one.
Okay,
we got to bring them both down.
Okay, quit calling them Jewish bankers. What they are is Zionists, and they own the military-industrial complex. They own Big Pharma. They own Washington, D.C. in toto. They own most of
they
own all the central banks in the world. They are the bad guys. And they may have a whole lot of appendages below them, but those 85 guys are Satanists. They're the spawn of the devil. They're the bad guys.
Jeff.
Well, how do we conquer
Jeff,
them as Christians?
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Read Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. That's exactly what Jim is trying to tell you. Beware of those who say they are Jews but are not.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, you can be a Jew and be a Zionist, or you don't have to be Jewish and be a Zionist, but let's separate the two here, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
But we have to overthrow it.
But that's what
we
we're
have
trying
to overthrow it. And,
that's right.
Yes, go ahead.
Their whole shtick is the ability to print toilet paper and make you think it's worth something.
Amen.
And that's going to hell in a tea kettle. When you get rid of their ability to put their false god up, which is money, and everybody quits worshiping that phony money, then they die on the vine. Because you're not going to be able to beat them.
How do we bring it down?
Whatever.
Well, have you been listening to my shows over the last couple of weeks, Jeff?
I listen to you as much as I can, and you got a good okay. show.
Well, thank you. Okay. Go in and listen to a week ago last Tuesday's show about the SES.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So that's all I can say. I got to let you go, Jeff. Okay. All right. Let's quickly go to Ken in Fort Worth. Ken, you're on with Michael, Jim, and Joanne. Go ahead.
Yeah, back in 92, Tommy Lee Buckley on the radio said that he received large bearer bonds from Indonesia through a guy named Edison Damanik. One of the bonds was in billions of dollars from Gaddafi. And he told me on the phone in 92 that the bonds are in a Dallas federal courthouse. They were taken from him, and they were in there. Periodically, I go to the Dallas Florida courthouse and talk to the guards. I said, have you seen the bonds? Has Trump come down there to get them yet?
Okay, I heard you call into John's show with the same information the other day. Is that right? Jim, do you know anything about any bonds that Gaddafi's got someplace in, where is it, Indonesia?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of these things, but you got to go back. You know, if you really want to get into this, before the Federal Reserve was organized, the Chinese royal family loaned 1 million tons of gold to the 7 banking families, and they were to start a central bank that the Chinese would be partners with.
In the U.S.
These are the Zionists. These 7 banking families, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Medici, etc.
Right.
Been around since Roman times. And immediately, the Zionists, who weren't calling themselves Zionists then, they started infiltrating China with communism in order to not be obligated to return that debt. They printed these first bonds in 1932, then they reprinted them in 1972, etc. The only people that could ever encash those would be somebody on the inside, and George Bush Sr. and the Queen have been a partnership on that. They've encashed a bunch of them. Well, but you can't hold them, you can't own them without having authorization from the maker. And once any instrument leaves a bank, it's no longer a bonded instrument. It has to be validated by the maker. And anybody bringing a bond into a bank, say, validate this, if it's an obligation of the bank, of course they're not going to validate it. So all these things are no longer in bond. They're pieces of paper, and it's at the goodwill of the maker bank, if you would, to pay them. So that's where this trick, everybody gets involved. Well, I'm holding this gazillion-dollar instrument. Well, you may be holding, but it's a piece of toilet paper because it's out of bond.
Well, let me interject here. Many years ago, back in the late 90s, I got involved with this, and I saw boxes full of these $100 million bonds that were issued in 1933 or 1934 by whoever, you know, and they were sitting in Philippine banks, okay? But it never went anywhere. The Filipino people were using high-level people were using it as a scam to bilk me and many others out of a lot of money, thinking that we're going to ultimately cash out of it. But that's all they are. Just like Jim said, they're toilet paper.
And the bonds were signed by James Baker III. I wrote and told him, said, you signed those bonds, never answered me.
Well, the only way, you know, first of all, the only way you know the date of issue is you have to look at the two signatures at the bottom, and those two men were only in office at the same time at 1 year. So it may be dated 1934 and it's really 1932. Second, those were issued after that. All the royal family in China has gone to international court forever trying to force the Federal Reserve to pay. And they have been guffawed. And of course, the international court is a political machine owned again by the same bad guys. It's not a criminal court. It's not a court of law. It's an agenda-driven instrument used by the bad guys.
And the other thing that it looks like is everybody who had their name on one of them bonds are either dead, or they killed them, or they put them in jail. They're trying to get rid of all the owners. That's what it looks like to me.
Well, no, it's simpler. It's easier than that. If it's out of bond, they don't have to worry about whoever's got it in their hand. It's worth nothing. You have to take it back to the maker bank and have it validated. They will not even give you a receipt for it because they said, we don't know what it is until we go through the authentication process. And the authentication process includes all kinds of things, like the box had to be sealed. It had to have an insurance coin in it. It had to have this coin. When the Chinese and other people had them, couldn't get any money out of them, they would sell off those coins because that was worth money.
All right, we got to go to a break, guys. Thanks for the call, Ken. We'll be back on 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around. More to come. Thank you.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Well, it's all
folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guests Jim and Joanne Moriarty. You know, getting back to this, when you guys were actually, I guess, arrested or detained by, quote, Al-Qaeda, for how long was it?
Well, we weren't actually arrested. We were, when Tripoli was invaded, this was after the tribes wrote a new constitution and they delivered to Sheikh Ali. As you remember, may not remember, the U.S., UN, NATO, their whole deal was to get a new constitution for Libya that would
bring
provide democracy
to Libya.
Uh-huh.
So oh, the yeah. Libyan tribes wrote one. It was delivered to Sheikh Ali. The next day, Tripoli is invaded.
We were sitting with Sheikh Ali when it was delivered to him.
Yeah, so he was the supreme leader of all the tribes. And they started rolling in these car carriers full of those pickup trucks with aircraft guns on the
first
back of them.
First they bombed for 3 days and brought their black helicopters in and mowed people down on the streets. The first hour they killed 1,300 people and wounded.
And Joanne and I were on the 21st floor of the Corinthia Hotel, which is a 6-star hotel, looking out over the Mediterranean. We saw two of the Apache helicopters coming in low off the water. We heard the third one. Their mini cannons were firing. They were killing every man, woman, and child in the street. That first hour, they killed 1,300 wounded, wounded 5,000 in the first hour of this. This was the U.S. providing democracy and protecting the innocents in Libya. After that, the next two or three days after that, they continued to flow in all these mercenaries into Tripoli, and they just let them have Tripoli.
They just opened Tripoli to them and said, do what you want. Rape women, take anything you want, break into stores.
We were trapped in Tripoli. The reason we stayed in Tripoli longer than we should have is the Pope had asked Bishop Martinelli to contact us to see if we could help the Libyan government receive a shipload of medicine and medical supplies for the legitimate Libyans, not the rebels. Mm-hmm. And we agreed to do that. I set up two trusts in Malta, one to mask the Catholic side, the other one to mask the Libyan government side, so that the Red Cross could pass it to the Red Crescent and then flow into Tripoli. And it took us forever to get that approved because the Libyan government didn't want to act like they needed help from anybody. Finally, we got, after a long time, we got the tribal leaders to agree to do that. That's why we stayed and lived in Tripoli longer than we should have. Then we were trapped and couldn't get out.
But in during that time, we also went to a lot of tribal meetings and we interviewed people. And they're constantly coming to us, wanting their voice.
We wanted to try to support the tribes as a legitimate leg of the government of Libya, which it was. They had two houses, one elected, one the Supreme Council of the Tribes,
General Secretary of the Tribe.
So, long and short of that, whenever Tripoli is completely overrun. There's no military, no support, anything, anywhere. There was a rescue ship coming from Malta put together by the prime minister over there, and it was going to remove all the political people that were still left inside.
The diplomats.
And Maxim Maximov, who was the Russian ambassador, called us, and he said, I know your government's not going to help you get out of there. Can I put your name on this ship so that you can get at least get out of Tripoli? And we said, sure. After that, a lot of people recognized we were Americans. They asked us if we were getting out. We got the German FIFA coach for Libya, the sister of the president of Mauritania, a Bahraini prince, a ne'er-do-well from Texas was over there trying to sell guns and ammunition and everything. All this became part of our group. We kept asking the Russian ambassador to add their names, so we now had seven people trying to get on that rescue ship. And the hotel loaned us a van, put a driver and a co-driver in there. She told them to tell all the – because every 100 meters there was a blockade in the road, guys with AK-47s. And she said, tell them they're reporters because all the rebels love the reporters because they were lying for them all the time. So we went down trying to find this rescue ship. We actually went 42 kilometers all the way down east out of Tripoli. Never found it, came back, went into the port, didn't do it, went back the other way. We're talking to the Malta prime minister via satellite phone. And long and short, the second time we got back into the Tripoli harbor, they held us in there for over an hour.
The ship had not come in because it had been fired on by Al-Qaeda. It was miles out.
So we were inside the harbor, and the place gets inundated, just flooded with these little trucks full of people, and we had 50 or 60 AK-47s right in our face. And the big tall guy, kind of close hair, cropped hair, hard looking man, he had a sheet of paper with our names on. He said, your game's up. We know who you are. And they took us to their torture center, which was the Radisson Hotel. They put us in the lobby because they were actually doing all the torture and everything in the mezzanine. They were bringing in wounded soldiers. There was no lights or electricity, but there was emergency power on the elevators. They take them up there into the mezzanine area, and then we were hearing them torture these guys to death. The next week, they found 60-something bodies,
68 dead bodies
in that mezzanine area. But we were there a couple of days, and at the end of it, I kept fighting with everybody trying to get out of there.
They took everything. They took our passports.
Okay, let's stop there. I got to take a break, guys. We'll continue with this when we get back. Unbelievable. I've got a caller, Pat in Arkansas. Pat, I'll bring you up after the break. Please be on point. And then let's get back into this torture situation. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you...
All right, folks, we're back for the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guests, Jim and Joanne Moriart. Now, Pat in Texas, I'll go to you in just a couple minutes, but Jim, I have to ask, you were witnessing all this stuff. This is being carried out by the same people who are saying that Muammar Gaddafi's a bad guy, but the bad guys were really us. Yes. And so how did you guys manage to escape this?
Three miracles. Absolutely three miracles. Not any other way to explain it. You know, we've had so much divine intervention in our lives since then. Those three miracles got us out, and that's an hour show in itself, but we got out of that. They had set up a kill zone 2 blocks from the hotel, and they were going to release us. And
let me give this real quick scenario. We were sitting in this hotel in the dark, and you have to picture that Tripoli's dark. They've blown it up. There's no power. And they took everything of ours, and we thought the van was still there. We were still trying to go to the rescue ship. When we got ready to leave after 2 days and they gave us back our passport, there was a big imam that came in and said something in Arabic. We don't know what it was. And Jimmy was over there trying to say, we're going. The new driver of the van was a guy named Imad. He was from our other hotel. We didn't know him well. Turns out he was a bad guy too, but he was going to be the new driver. And when he couldn't get Jimmy's attention, he pulled me off to the side and he said, what your husband didn't understand that imam say was that when you get in this van to go to the rescue ship, there's a kill zone set up 2 blocks down there under the overpass. And he said, you're to be killed, chopped up, and burned. It'll be blamed on Gaddafi. He said, I know you two people. You've been here with the Libyans. You support them. You're just trying to help. And this van is not going that way. This van's going back to the hotel on the back roads. And then we went over and got Jimmy, and then he listened.
He said, I think I can sneak back to the other hotel. And that's actually that, because Al-Qaeda, you look at them cross-eyed, they kill you. One of their own doing something like that, absolutely, he was buying his own death sentence. That was the first miracle. Second miracle.
Let me stop you on that miracle, because as you tell me this, and that's another hour show, I want you guys back up on my show at some point, okay? So maybe we should just save those other two miracles,
okay.
Jim.
Sure.
We got back to the United States without any help at all from the U.S. government, and since then, they have been... We've been soft killed, blacklisted. We sold our houses.
And that's another reason why I want to have you guys back up to go into all of that, to get behind the scenes of what has happened since then, and to see if we can do anything to set this right. But with that, let me take a moment here. Let's go to Pat in Texas. Pat, you're on with Michael, Jim, and Joanne. Go ahead. Hello, Pat in Texas. Did we lose? Okay, Pat in Texas, you're on with Michael, Jim, and Joanne. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a real ignorant, but boy, you guys got me to where I really got to study the history of Africa, because I believe they're going to be one of the most blessed nations on the earth, because when Jesus Christ is preached to them, they walk by thousands to hear it. And that's not going on in America or anywhere. And I wanted to ask, you're saying all these wicked people went down actually West Africa, like Sierra Leone, and they cut off people's arms in the name of Gaddafi when it wasn't Gaddafi?
Gaddafi's people never chopped up anybody. That was CIA-trained mercenaries that came from Afghanistan, Egypt, Sudan.
No, Gaddafi was not a terrorist, hated terrorist.
Never, ever.
Well, how about the voice of the martyrs? Wouldn't they know if they were anybody that they knew or spoke the language perfectly? How can CIA speak those languages?
Well, they have
CIA. They speak the language better. They speak English better than I do.
CIA has trained mercenaries and trained people in every
CIA is the most evil entity in the United States, in the world. It is absolutely the devil.
Completely rogue. Completely rogue.
Well, I believe about the English, because my friend was a missionary and he was teaching them English. And a lot of them really spoke English. You're right about that. Okay, well, I would think even then, though, they would have an accent. You could tell what's CIA and what's not.
No, ma'am. They start with the mosques. They bribe an imam. They bring in the psychopaths. The CIA training centers. There's 23 CIA training centers in Libya right now where they're training these psychopaths to be mercenaries for the Zionists worldwide. Yeah. There are mercenaries in Syria. There's mercenaries in Iraq, in Iran, every place.
Well, let me
CIA
ask you this question.
70 years or 50 years.
I know that there are nations in Africa who refuse to condone homosexuality. In fact, Obama sent about five different ambassadors to try to convince them to promote it, and billions of dollars to those five nations. And I was wondering, did you see the same thing in all those nations going on with the CIA? Because I understand there are a lot of homosexuals in CIA.
We've been in a lot of different countries, but they don't support, that Muslim religion does not support homosexuality at all. You need to do a little homework, ma'am, because all this information.
Well, I know
CIA
they don't. They say they don't, but on the other hand, they do. In reality, they do. But officially, they don't.
In reality, they do, but officially, they don't. Who does or doesn't? What are you speaking of, Pat?
Muslim religion. In reality,
okay.
Officially, they don't support it, but in reality, they do.
No, they don't.
That's not
no,
true.
You're listening to the wrong media.
You know, you're okay. Listening to the wrong media, because the truth is they have, you know, I don't want to get an argument.
I've been in a lot of Muslim countries. I've never seen any homosexuals that were ever promoted into any position, and if they were, nobody knew it.
Oh,
all
no,
right.
They wouldn't know it. But so you didn't really.
Well, then how would anybody know it?
All right. Thanks for the call,
I guess
Pat.
I'd have to keep quiet.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Yeah, she needs to do a little homework, folks. okay. Back to where we were here. Okay, so You guys escaped. I don't want to get into the miracles today. I want to save that for another program. And also, what has happened to you since? I want to initiate that into another program and bring you guys up again at some point. But I want to ask you, I mean, I have seen video clips of what they did to Muammar Gaddafi, and I was absolutely horrified. They beat this man. They, from what I understand, sodomized this man before they shot him in the head, and he had done nothing. And all of this was instigated, orchestrated by the controllers who control this government. And we're talking
Hillary
about...
Clinton was the lead. Yeah. Hillary Clinton was the lead.
The evil empire is 10 square miles called Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And it's completely corrupt from top to bottom. Everybody there is bought and paid for by the Zionist cabal.
Don't you remember when Hillary said, "We came, we saw, he's dead"?
Oh, I was going to bring that up. I was waiting for the proper time. I mean, I could only imagine what you were thinking when you saw that, Pat. Or excuse me, not Pat, Joanne.
Yeah, no. It's just so disgusting. Listen, I want to tell you something that happened at the beginning of 2011. I think it was March or April. They took Gaddafi and his family into Jerba, Tunisia, a little island to the west of Libya. And the CIA was there, French, whatever three-letter they're called, the MI5 was there. I'm sure diplomats were there. And Gaddafi said, he told them, he said, "I'll leave my country. Fine, whatever you want. I'll take the oil, whatever you want. Just stop bombing my people." And they told him in no uncertain terms in front of his family that they were going to bomb his country as long as they wanted because they could. And they were going to kill him, and he was not going to leave
and all his family
because they could and they wanted to. And that was the way it was going to be, and there was nothing anybody could do about it. And if you remember, there was a time when Saif al-Islam, his second son, came out and said, "All of you rebels out here, whoever you are, you're going to die. We're going to kill all of you." And everybody said, "Oh, see, Gaddafi's a terrible person. See that?" Well, the reason he said that was he had just gotten out of that meeting where they were told they were all going to die and the country was going to be destroyed.
Everybody needs to go to our website. You know, it's www.libyanwarthetruth.com. We've got a little DVD that we sell. That's how we support ourselves. We're not allowed to do anything. Joanne and I, she got a job as a fry cook, and I was cleaning commodes for a shell jobber at $8 an hour, and they came in and threatened him. So they do not allow us to work at all.
Okay,
we've lost three homes. We've lost everything. So,
Jim, let me back up a minute. LibyanWarTheTruth.com, is that what you said?
Yeah, yes, that's our website.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna go in there as soon as the show is over. But yeah, okay. So since you've been able to come back to the shores of the U.S. of A., they have still stalked you, threatened you. They have thrown monkey wrenches in you actually being able to support yourself.
And yes, we've been blocked. We've been blacklisted and soft killed. Our business has been killed. Our credit facility was killed. Our bank accounts taken from us.
We were targeted when we came back into Houston, and we were told that they took Jimmy at passport, actually, and kept him. The FBI did, and kept him 3 hours. They let me go. I was the one who was carrying everything. They let me go through. But
she had almost 300 gigabytes of proof of war crimes and everything.
Well, in 2013, we finally realized, first happened in 2012 when Chris Stevens was killed. We started working with Jerome Corsi, and he started writing our articles of the intel we were getting from the Libyan tribes.
He's written 50 articles based on information we provided him.
And then in 2013, we had the DIA came in because I was talking to Tara Dahl, who worked for Michelle Bachmann, and she said, "You need to talk to the military."
She's a CIA.
Yeah, she is CIA. Banger. But they told us we should have been debriefed because we were captured by Al-Qaeda. So the DIA agent, Eric Maddox, showed up in our house, gave us the name Kevin Davis. And after about 10 or 12 visits, after all the intelligence he had collected, nothing was happening. So we cut him off. What they were trying to do was get all our information.
The kind of intelligence we were providing, because see, we were still so dumb at that time. We thought if we could find a good, God-fearing politician in Washington, D.C., when they found out how wrong-footed we were in Libya, and we gave them the intelligence on where the Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood leaders lived, where they spent the night, where their weapons were stored. And I'm talking about latitude and longitude of these locations, where they were moving, where their training camps were. We thought that when we got that information in, of course, our government was going to eliminate them.
No, they were
Bull. Our government, that's who was the proxy army for our government.
the first information that came out was the biggest Al-Qaeda camp near Derna, and that was disbanded as soon as that message got to Washington, D.C. The tribes called us and said, wow, that whole entire training camp is now being disbanded immediately.
3 days.
Within 3 days, because we put that information out. But then the last guy who came in was Glenn Beck organization, the Blaze, wanted to do a documentary on us, and they brought in the CIA lady named Nikki Barakal. We were actually told that he was compromised and to be careful.
Jerome Corsi told us that.
And the lady, Nikki Barakal, shut down the entire project and told us if we didn't shut up about what we saw in Libya, that we wouldn't have a life.
She said, you need to continue to feed all the intelligence to the agencies you're talking with now. And otherwise, you need to forget about everything you saw in Libya. And if you don't, you won't have a life. I said, that sounds like a threat. She raised her voice. She said, you stand down and do exactly what I'm telling you. You won't have a life.
That's when
we started going public. And we've been going public. And really, we didn't. She told us we'd been soft killed. She said, the reason you've had to sell everything, the reason all your business has been killed is because you've been blacklisted and soft killed.
She said, you were tagged at the Houston airport when you came back.
And she said, you're in more trouble. Your lives are in more trouble because of the U.S. government than ever while you're in the hands of Al-Qaeda in Libya.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, stepping back just for a moment here, you were talking about you thought you could go and maybe find one good person in Washington. Is there such a thing?
Dennis Kucinich tried to work with us. And
Ron Paul. Yeah. And Trump is trying. He's got so many snakes around him, I'm surprised he's not.
We would like to be able to get our information to him because we do have actionable intelligence. Yeah,
Senator Richard Black, who's a Virginia senator, he's a great guy, good guy.
He's trying to help Syria.
Yeah. But, you know, in Washington, D.C., when they cross the Potomac River, they have to check their man parts before they're allowed to pass over. And then they have to sign a contract, an allegiance to Israel. They have to sign an allegiance to Israel where it takes precedent over anything in the United States.
So that's treasonous.
And then they're put in a trap. They're either blackmailed by sex, drugs, their kids are compromised, whatever, and they're forced
control
to become part of this cabal of evil that is Washington, D.C.
Well, guys, I touched on here a little while ago, I just mentioned one of the callers, SES. Are you familiar with that term?
100%.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Now, and so you know it exists. You know what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, they own every civil service job in the United States.
Right. No, I just that's why I referred that listener. Yeah. Go back and listen to a show of mine a week ago last Tuesday. I've done about four shows on it just here in the last 2 weeks. But I'll tell you what, with that, let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Joe in California. Joe, you're on with Michael, Joanne, and Jim Moriarty. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Wanted to say a couple of things. One is all I could say is thank you for your show and your guests and the amount of risk and danger that you put yourselves in to draw attention to what really goes on in the world versus the lies spewed on misleading expensive television networks.
Okay.
One of the things I would like to say is, wasn't Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, she was the bank liaison between the Rockefellers and the Bank of Indonesia, as well as the Bank of Africa. She was the go-between. She handled all of the transactions and liaisons between Rockefellers, Bank of New York, and Indonesia and Africa. And then I learn on your show today that even Michelle Obama herself is a CIA stooge.
And that was Michelle Bachmann.
Michelle Bachmann.
Michelle Bachmann.
Michelle Bachmann. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Go ahead.
The other thing is the people who owned Israel or Jerusalem prior to anyone else, way, way back, thousands and thousands of years ago, was the Nephites and the Jaredites. And when they didn't do what the Egyptians wanted, they were forced out of Jerusalem as well. And I was wondering if they're entitled to that land back since they owned it way before the Ashkenazis came. That was my question.
Well, that's biblical. You know, you start into the indigenous people, who's entitled to what, you know, you really start opening up everything. If that's the case, then the American Indians here in the United States own everything.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so, Joe, there's not really an answer to that question. But anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. We're getting ready to another break here. Yeah, thank you, Joe. We're getting ready to go to another break here, and then we got a few minutes left with you guys. I mean, I'm just absolutely astounded. You guys are in the Houston area, is that correct?
No, we're out of Southeast Texas. When you start going east from where you are, when you start running over poisonous snakes and alligators, you're close to us.
Okay. Well, Joanne, what are you doing? Waiting tables or you're washing dishes? What are you doing?
Not anymore. They shut that down.
We live on our little DVD sales.
Okay. And so how much are your DVDs?
They're $15.
$15. Okay.
Three-hour DVD plus the CD backup gives everything that has
I'm going to promote that when we get back from the break. So let's take that final break, and I'll get into the depth of that. And I want to take all the listeners, put them in there, and buy one of these DVDs because I'm going to. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of The American Awakening with my special guests, Jim and Joanne Moriarty. Now, you guys, this DVD you're trying to support yourself on, you said it was 3 hours long?
The DVD is 3 hours long. Then there's an hour or more on a CD backup that we include that's all current contemporary information.
And this gives everybody an overview of interviews, witnesses, and that sort of. Just give us a little bit of an itinerary of what's in there, because
it's our seminar, and then there's a lot of documents. There's video that was produced by the NGO about why it happened in Libya, the interview with Dennis Kucinich, where he outs the whole Arab Spring as being a phony setup. And there's lots of other documents. There's our authorization as the spokespersons for the official spokesperson for the tribes of Libya. There's a document signed by the Mossad with the rebels that the Mossad would provide them weapons and training and money as long as it took to take over Libya. And in return, the Mossad would get a permanent base in the Green Mountain area of Libya. That's in there.
Okay.
The security report where Morsi was the one that was coordinating the attack on Chris Stevens and why that happened. And
there's a lot of information on this.
A lot of information.
Great. Well, I'll tell you what. Now it can be accessed at this website, the Libyan War, the Libyan War, the truth.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
It's Libyan, okay, now, it's all one word, Libyan War, the truth.
All right, now I'm going to spell it out. LibyanWarTheTruth.com.
That's right. You're correct.
Okay, now let me have the floor for a minute here. Folks, I want every one of you to go in there and order one of these DVDs. I'm going to order 6 of them right now as soon as I get off the air, okay? And I want you folks to help these people out, okay? I want everybody that's got $15 to spare to go in and order one of these DVDs for these people, okay? All right. That said, again, it's LibyanWarTheTruth.com. You just sold 6 of them to me.
Let me real quick give you all the 3 reasons Libya was blown up. First, we've already talked about that was the African bank. And they could not have – the Zionist bankers could not have a gold-backed currency. They would destroy them. So they wanted to organize the destruction of Libya and Gaddafi. Second, the military-industrial complex was trying to establish AFRICOM. That's a U.S. military control of Africa. Libya, South Africa, and 6 other countries would not join. So the military-industrial complex joined in the desire to blow up Libya. As soon as Libya fell, all the countries joined. So now the U.S. has military control of Africa. AFRICOM's a reality. The third thing is Gaddafi, since he had retired in 2006, took all the broken treaties from all the invader countries into Africa that had never been honored, France, Italy, England, all of them, and he had started a class action suit against all those other countries on behalf of the African countries, had taken to international court. It was a $7 trillion lawsuit, and as the attorney said, it had legs. So those are the 3 reasons you had the world gang up on this little bitty country. And not only destroy it, but they blew it up. It's a failed state. It's ruined.
And, Michael, let me tell you one thing.
Quick.
Okay. H.E. Dangor was the South African ambassador to Libya during the war, during this time. We met with him. He told us that the reason South Africa joined against Libya is because Hillary Clinton showed up in their country and threatened them with rebels in their backyard if they didn't join her war.
All right. We're out of time. I'll call you guys after the show here. I want to talk to you a little bit because I'm going to order some of these videos. Folks, we're out of time. I'll see you tomorrow with my co-pilot, Daryl. Stay out of trouble. See you tomorrow. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, because I'm mad as hell. What it is you think I should.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What really happened with your